If you have your Bible, and I hope that you do, would you turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. You may hear and see and sense a lot of variation in emotions or thoughts here today, because today we gather to celebrate the single greatest event in all of human history. The greatest act of love was when Jesus went to the cross. God demonstrated His love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But then the greatest and most powerful act in all of human history was unveiled, listen to me church, early Sunday morning. And then we celebrate, we have church, we gather often on Sunday morning because it is an acknowledgement that we recognize that there's just something different about that early Sunday morning. And we celebrate the power of the resurrection. And so I want to preach to you this morning from 1 Peter chapter 1, a message titled the same as the song we just sang, Living Hope, and want to talk to you about this living hope. Now listen to me, church. I want to make you the same deal. God opens up the doors and gives me opportunities to go and preach revivals in different places. Many of you have prayed for me as I've gone to those, and I often make the churches where I go the same deal I'm going to make you this morning. Okay, so listen carefully. The more often and the louder you engage by saying amen, praise the Lord, glory, hallelujah, the better I preach and the shorter the sermon gets. Yeah, you're getting it this morning, all right? I'm just trying to help you. I'm putting the cookies on the bottom shelf where everybody can get them, okay? I know lunch is prepared and you're excited about it just like I am, all right? So 1 Peter chapter 1, we're going to begin in verse 3. So if you're willing and you're able, will you stand with me in the honor of the reading of the Word of God? 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade, reserved for you in heaven, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank You that we pray not to some idol on a mantle or some dead god, but rather we approach You as the King of Kings and the Great I Am. And so this morning I pray You would bless the preaching of Your Word. Give me every word to say, nothing more and nothing less. I pray, God, this morning that the lost would be saved, the backslider restored, and the saint would be encouraged. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to You. Bless Your servant, I pray now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, this morning I'm preaching this sermon called Living Hope. And the main idea of the sermon is this. It's a sermon in a sentence. Is hope is alive because of the resurrection of Jesus. Hope is alive because of the resurrection of Jesus. And I simply want to ask you this morning, the question of the text begs this, is do you have hope today? Not do you have hope from yesterday, did you have hope once in your life, or do you simply have hope in the future, but right now, today, do you live with a sense of hope? I believe the Scripture has some things to say to us this morning. And so I want us to walk through this. We're going to have two main points. And under the first one, there's a few sub-points, if you will, that I want us to see from the text. But I want you to notice, number one, living hope has key properties. There's some properties of the living hope. So, excuse me, notice 1 Peter chapter 1, 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, listen, Peter's just fired up. He's excited. He begins, man, bless God, praise God, worship God. Hopefully that's a little bit of what we've engaged in already and going to engage. Hey, I don't know if you realize this, but you and I have the opportunity to bless God. I know that feels uncomfortable. It feels strange language, but whenever you and I lift our voice and sing and worship God, when you and I declare truth about God, when you and I sit in reflection about the goodness of God, that blesses God. And so 1 Peter 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again. That is to be born again. So he's writing to believers. He's writing and telling them about what this born again, this salvation is that they've experienced. Notice this, mercy has begotten us again to a living hope. If you mark or underline your Bible, mark or underline living hope. And then here's how that living hope is delivered through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. So this living hope literally means that hope is alive. That's why I made it such a point to ask you about, do you have hope for today? Because here's the reality, the only hope that we have is in Jesus. And as a matter of fact, we're going to talk about hope today as an it, but it, more importantly, it's a person. And that when Jesus died on the cross, he was buried, door nailed dead, there's no doubt about it. And early Sunday morning, he was raised from the dead. Hope is alive because of what Jesus has done. And so Peter says, hey, listen to me, saints of God. Listen to me, church. I want to talk to you about this living hope. And that living hope is based on the resurrection of the dead. That it is alive. Listen to me, saints that have been saved a while. Boy, don't you know from personal experience the truth of the Word of God when he talks about a living hope? Man, whenever Jesus saved my soul, whenever he convicted me of my sin and unrighteousness on October 10, 2004, I got gloriously saved. And listen to me, friend, I haven't got over it yet. And I had a hope then about what Jesus was doing in my life. But friend, as I get closer and closer to heaven, that hope grows. Saint, hasn't it grown in your life? Well, I sure hope that it has. If you've been saved and Jesus has saved your soul, that it's not just something that you once had, but it's one that is growing in your life, that you've got more and more hope that Jesus is alive. You've got more and more hope that one day he's coming again, and you've got more and more hope that there's a promise that is better than what you and I experience here and now. Hey, listen to me, church. Hope is alive. And he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again. Boy, how many are thankful for the abundant mercy? Amen. I don't know you, but I know me. Thank you, Jesus, for abundant mercy. You know what the mercy of God is? The mercy of God is not giving you what you deserve. Friends, I know what I deserve. And I deserve the full wrath of God, and I deserve hell for all eternity. But God, in his abundant mercy, did not give me that, but what did he give? The grace. He gave grace to be saved and the power of the cross and the promise of his resurrection. And so his abundant mercy begotten us again, to a living hope. So let's talk about what these properties are. A, living hope is untouched by death. Let's talk about the properties of living hope. And the first one we see, it's untouched by death. Do you see this in the scripture? Notice verse 4. To an inheritance. What's the inheritance? This living hope. The living hope is a person, but it's also a reality. Here's what you need to do when you think about hope. First, think about Jesus, that it is a person. He is our hope because there's an empty tomb. But not only is it a person, but it's a reality. It's a reality looking back to the past. Thank you, Jesus. I have had hope. It's a reality right now. I do have hope, but then it's a future reality that there is a hope that I hold on to and look forward to and believe in. And so here's what I need you to see. He's going to begin to fix our eyes looking forward to this fulfillment of this living hope. And he says, notice the first word, incorruptible. That it's incorruptible. What does that mean? It means it is untouched by death. That no matter how long it goes on, no matter how long until we get to the inheritance, no matter how many days or how many years or what takes place in this life, that you and I have an inheritance that is untouched by death. Meaning that it never dies, it'll never be destroyed, it'll never be obliterated, it'll never be done away with. That Jesus saved your soul so much so that when he raised Jesus from the dead, he gives you a promise. Why? Because Jesus in his resurrection conquered death, hell, and the grave. And so he says he's given us an inheritance, and that inheritance is incorruptible. It's untouched by death. The Bible talks about this in a few different places. Romans 1:23, it says, and he changed the glory of the incorruptible God. There it is, talking about this incorruption. God never has and never will be ceased to exist. This glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. We also have this word incorruption in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, probably the greatest chapter in the Bible about the resurrection outside of the narrative itself. But in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Saints, can I ask you this morning, how many of you will be excited about a resurrected body that will one day be incorruptible? Anybody got some joints this morning that going, come Lord Jesus? Good old weather change blew through. You know, live in Arkansas, you don't like the weather, wait 24 hours, you'll get something different, right? Cold front pushes through, or rain or whatever it is, or just battle wounds and scars and different things, and just times we're reminded by aches and pains that there's an incorruptible body coming. Hey, did you know this, saint of God, that one day when that trumpet sounds, that it says that the dead in Christ shall rise first, and that those who are died and gone on, man, they're going to get a body that's incorruptible. The Bible speaks of it this way, or many have said it this way, based on biblical principle, is that the reality is, if you die twice, you live forever. Die once and you die forever. What does that mean? It means the day in which you surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus, you died spiritually and you became a new man in Christ. And if the Lord tarries, then I'll die physically, but then one day I'll be resurrected with a brand new body. Incorruptible. Meaning it'll never die. I'll live with him forever. But you refuse to die to self and bow your knee to the Lord Jesus, you'll die physically. And then for all eternity, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. Not just physical death, but it's talking about eternal death. And so, dear friend, one of the key principles we see this morning is there's a promise that this inheritance, this living hope, is untouched by death. B, living hope is unstained by evil. It's unstained by evil. Notice again verse 4. To an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled. Meaning that you and I hold on to a hope, not only a person, but a reality that is untouched by death, but not only untouched by death, it is unstained by evil. That as we look forward to a better day and a future that is not filled not only with all the aches and pains and the struggles of this life, but also an inheritance that is promised that is pure and undefiled. How many of you are sick? Well, I don't know if we really turn on the news at 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock or whatever, but we open up our phone and we scroll. And I don't know about you, but I get weary scrolling and seeing the shooting that takes place here, the molestation, the abuse that takes place here, and just it seems like anytime we look and expose ourselves to the news that we're just reminded that we live in a very sin-sick, fallen world. And it's a really, really ungodly what wicked man will do to one another. But this morning, as we gather together and we think about the resurrection of Jesus and we talk about a living hope, we're reminded what Peter says, hey, listen, there's an inheritance for you that is reserved in heaven that is untouched by death. But not only that, there's an inheritance for you that's unstained by evil. There's a better day coming. There's a promise coming. There's a future that's coming where we really will be gathered with the saints of God, and everything that is good and everything that is pure and everything that is holy and was intended for this life will be pure and holy and untouched by sin. Don't you long for that day? Don't you think what a glorious time that will be when you get to trust your neighbor, you get to believe the best about them, and that's really what happens. We don't have to question motives. We don't have to doubt one another. We don't have to just think about, man, what are they really doing or trying? But Peter says there's an inheritance that is coming. It is incorruptible. It's untouched by death, but it is undefiled, and it is stained by evil. Hebrews 7:26 speaks about this, about the living hope, the person. It says, for such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy and blameless and undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens. The whole reason this works is because God sent His Son Jesus, born of a virgin, lived a sinless, perfect life. And when he went to the cross, listen to me, church, when he went to the cross, he was undefiled. He was unstained by evil. He lived in a sin-sick, fallen world. He lived in an evil and perverse generation, Isaiah 53 prophesies. But the reason this worked is when Jesus bowed his head and surrendered his spirit and offered himself as a sacrifice, Hebrews says that he was accepted because he was a perfect sacrifice. He was undefiled and unstained. And so, untouched by death, unstained by evil, and then see, living hope is unimpaired by time. It's unimpaired by time. Notice verse 4 again. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled. And look at this, and that does not fade away. The language here gives us the idea of this. It gives us the idea of a wilting flower. It doesn't wilt. Maybe this helps us. Anybody have a mama or grandma that you had, like, you had the den or the family room, and you had the dining, all that sort of stuff, but there was this room that was the living room. And in the living room had the nicest furniture and the nicest tables and the nicest lamp. And oftentimes, and I don't, anybody know where I'm going here? Had plastic over them. It's the nicest stuff in the house. Like, it's one thing. Okay, y'all, I mean, some of y'all look at me like you don't know, but most people had a mama or grandma, especially in the South, that had a room that had all the nicest furniture and they had plastic over it, and you couldn't even, like, step your toe in there. I don't know when it got used, all right? Adrian's grandmother had that room, all right? And I mean, it was there, but every now and then I'd just peek in when nobody else was looking, all right? Because I wasn't going to get caught by Ninny. But here's what's interesting. It was always clean, but you could go in and take that off, and it's immediately you were transported 20 years, all right? You just step back 20 years because, it's pristine stuff. It was unwilted. It was preserved. Hey, listen to me. Jesus has an inheritance for you. It's not fading. It's as sweet today as it was 1,000 years ago. And it'll be as reserved for you. It'll be as unfading. It'll be pristine. It'll be well taken care of. It is preserved for you. It does not fade. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The living hope is untouched by death. It's unstained by evil, and it's unimpaired by time. Listen to Matthew 6:19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. An inheritance that does not fade away. And so those are some key properties of a living hope. But number two, living hope delivers a promise. I want you to notice verse 4 and 5. To an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, and it does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in last time. Here's what I want you to see this morning. Notice he says, reserved for you in heaven. It's kept for you. Because notice verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation. What's he saying? He's saying, hey, here's the promise. Here's the beauty of the hope that you have. That it's untouched by death. It's unstained by evil. It's unimpaired by time. Here's the beauty of the living hope. But here's the promise that Jesus has reserved it for you in heaven, and that through the power of God, it's kept by Him. Some have referred to verse 5 as the divine power, meaning meaning that it's the power of God who saves and it's the power of God who keeps. Listen to me, church family. Jesus has done all that it takes on the cross for you to be saved. He was buried and raised from the dead so that you and I could be offered the free gift of salvation. And this morning, some of you need to repent. Some of you need to turn from your sins and place your faith and trust in Jesus. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, that God has raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. With the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Here in a moment, there's going to be an opportunity for you to repent of your sins and place your faith and trust in Jesus. And if you do, listen to me, dear friend, the Bible says that He takes and places you in His hand, and He is the one who saved you, and He is the one who keeps you. You can't be good enough to be saved, and you can't be good enough to keep yourself saved. I know that's not good grammar, but it's good preaching, all right? And listen, he says, reserved for you in heaven. And look at this, look at verse 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation. Listen, some of you are here, and it's by the grace of God He saved you. But listen to me, it's by the grace of God that He's kept you. Man, if you're here and living for Jesus and following after Him and loving Him today as much as you ever have, you need to bow your knee and say, thank you, Jesus, because it's Him who kept you. But let me tell you, dear friend, there's a promise that there's a better day coming. And if you make it to the end, it's God who will keep you. It's God who will keep you. It's by the power of God, through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Dear friend, I can't imagine. Can you imagine just for a moment? Mary and some of the other ladies got up early Sunday morning, gathered the spices and fragrances, all the things to properly take care of Jesus' body. They had likely prepared them, they had them ready, staged up, and they left very early Sunday morning to get to the tomb because they wanted to, first thing, take care of his body. They wanted, first thing, to take care of him, give him a semblance of a proper burial that he rightly deserved in their mind. And yet here they are, they turn the corner and they begin to approach the tomb where Jesus was buried. And they noticed something different. They noticed that the stone was rolled away. And a man that was there, an angel that was around, but to them appeared to be a man, and just began to inquire, man, what has happened? And in the incredible proclamation that we read a moment ago, very emphatically, and I wonder if it was almost understated because it's as if what else was going to happen. That the angel declares to them, says, hey, why are you looking for Jesus? Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. And that Sunday morning changed everything. And dear friend, if Jesus really did come, and he really did come, and if Jesus really did die, and he really did die, and if Jesus really did raise from the dead, and he really did raise from the dead, he did it so that you could have a saving relationship with Jesus. And that you could experience an authentic, genuine, tangible hope here and now through that relationship with Christ. And look forward to a better day coming, that this life is not all there is to have. And so my invitation to you is this. If you've never surrendered your heart and life to Jesus, what a better day to give your heart to Jesus than today. Pray. Ask God to forgive you of your sins. Ask Him to be the boss of your life. Ask Him to save you, fully trusting in Him and in His power. The Bible says it takes two things to be saved. It says in Acts 20:21, repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. If you'll ask Jesus with every fiber of your being to forgive you and to save you, the Bible says God will do just that. You may say, Pastor Chris, well, I'm a this or I'm a that or I've been here, I've been there. Dear friend, do you really think that Jesus went through all of this and was raised from the dead and he's alive today and he looks at you going, yeah, that's too much? No. He looks at you as the same love as he had when he was on the cross and thought about you. And he wants nothing more than we wanted then is for you to surrender your life to him and live for him and experience the purpose in which you were created for. So, dear friend, there is hope. There's hope in the power of the cross. There's hope in an empty tomb. And there's hope that a better day is coming because hope is alive. Won't you give your heart to Jesus? Maybe some of you here this morning, you know that you know you surrendered your life to Jesus. You know there's a day in which you look back. You may not be able to name date or time, and that's fine. But I'm telling you, dear friend, if you got genuinely saved, you'll be able to look back to a moment in which everything changed. And some of you, and you know there was a day and time when you surrendered your life to Jesus completely and totally. But you may say, Pastor Chris, man, I'm just not where I used to be and I'm not where I need to be. Dear friend, I don't believe God is in heaven wringing his hands upset at you. I believe he's a picture of the father of the prodigal son, where he's looking on the horizon waiting for his son or his daughter to come home. Won't you repent and return to him? Many of you in the room and your saints and walking with Jesus, my hope is today's message has encouraged you that hope is alive.